Unit 6. Listening 1. CAE Part 4. Multiple Matching. Speaker 1.
I went to, if you like, normal school Monday to Thursday, and I didn't particularly excel in anything. And if that had been my sole form of learning experience, I probably wouldn't be where I am today. I mean, playing in front of huge European audiences. You see, on Fridays, I went to an independent school where they set up a project for the day. Say, something on volcanoes? You learnt the usual stuff, but then they encouraged you to respond in your own way. So, for example, the arty kids would make a sculpture. The practical-minded kids built models. And I used to get the instruments out and compose something. Just in the corner by myself at first. But then I gained confidence. For me, that's what education should be about. Getting kids to express themselves, to use their imagination as a means of developing their abilities.
Speaker 2.
I think I got into this profession partly as a reaction to my own teachers. I wanted to show them how teaching should be done. You know, there's nothing worse than when a teenager has a go at something and then they're criticised for getting it wrong. It humiliates them, makes them reluctant to speak out in front of who they see as the brainy kids. My colleagues and I all have the attitude that participation should be rewarded. See, rather than just telling them you're wrong, it's better to help them out with a few more leading questions that'll direct them to the right answer. In that way, you're sending the message that it's better to have a go, even if their answer isn't quite right, than sit there in silence and be excluded.
Speaker 3.
There was never any doubt that we were going to send Andrew to boarding school. It's a tradition that goes back 4 generations in our family, although Andrew is back with us at weekends and I only ever return for the holidays. The academic advantage is clear. With far smaller classes, you get greater individual attention. That allows you to really master a subject. But also, the reason why this kind of private education system works is that the whole ethos is about becoming self-sufficient. It is up to the individual student to ensure they spend a good amount of time on their homework or studying in the library. It is up to them to be in class on time and keep their rooms in order. That kind of discipline is invaluable when it comes to the real world.
Speaker 4.
For the last 30 years or so, the majority of schools have allowed boys and girls to study side by side. Whereas their integration within the classroom may benefit them in terms of their social development, the studies we have carried out show that boys consistently underperform when learning alongside girls. Our investigations were based on observations within classrooms that we visited, as well as the examination results from 100 schools over the last 3 years. Many parents find the notion of educating their son or daughter separately from members of the opposite sex rather old-fashioned, but I believe that schools should provide the opportunity for a learner to do as well as they possibly can. While not every child may be naturally gifted, it is possible to develop their intelligence to a far greater extent in the right learning environment.
Speaker 5.
My father was rather unconventional, and he took it upon himself to educate me at home. This often involved visiting castles, art galleries, and of course the wonderful science museum. And that's where it all began for me. I was fascinated by the models of atoms and by the early microscopes. I would read up about the stuff I'd seen at home, and my father would always say, "When you're ready, we'll have a little test and see what you can remember." But there was no strict schedule. He knew that it takes time to absorb information. In my laboratory, I have to do everything with extreme care, and it's vital you do not rush things, but the end result makes it all worthwhile. The same approach should be applied to education.